Hi, I'm Ben Bouteille.
And I'm Matt Engstrom, and welcome to the State of CRM podcast. Today we have a special guest with us, somebody who's providing a bit of a different perspective than we've had before. She brings expertise from the agency side of the industry. She has a deep knowledge of CRM marketing and customer relationship building, and has actually done quite a bit of thought leadership on the topic, which we're excited to talk to her about today. She's from Digitas, which is a global marketing and technology agency and a major force within the space. I'd like to welcome Melissa Berger, SVP Connection Strategy and Head of CRM for North America. Melissa, let's kick it over to you and learn a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's so great to be here, Ben and Matt. Thanks for including me. So yeah, like you said, I lead up CRM for Digitas North America. Been doing this for a few years now, been in the CRM space almost my entire career, lots of evolutions of starting in a channel and then starting to understand a little bit more about others, and eventually kind of took over in the connection space and was able to do a bit more understanding CRM and the importance of relationships when it comes to marketing. So I know that's what we want to talk a lot about today. I get tired of hearing CRM means email, or it's direct mail, or it equals Salesforce or Adobe. And so I've been, Lauren knows this, on my soapbox for years now, really talking about the importance of the relationship and that it's any channel and any interaction. So I'm excited to have some fellow supporters here with you two.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's jump into it, Melissa. Something that's you mentioned in the intro is that's CRM, these three letters. One of them can get we can get a better look in the R, actually, in the relationship, as you mentioned, and we were forced by the course of the last year with the COVID, the lockdown, and all of that change in all our lives in relationships, yep. Personal, professional, all of that modifications. To you, it's time to get back into this relationship and the evolution of this relationship, and what are the key points of the evolution, the recent evolution, and how we make this R more important than everything else in CRM.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the lockdown had such tremendous impact, as we know, on people. And I think it made relationships just so important. Relationships between friends, family, coworkers, businesses, clients, having to switch to, pitching over Zoom. You know, we can all relate to the challenges that we face there and really not being able to see the human cues that we normally would, especially when you're just presenting to a camera. It's hard. So I've really, everyone's had to really get used to that. So I started to think really about, the relationship, the R, the importance of that. It's not a data source. It's really giving you that best intel at building relationships. And personal relationship management has a spotlight on it. And I think brands have really had to change the way they talk to customers, how they take information, and then even how they play it back. So last year we talked a lot around like the importance of being more empathetic. I think that's huge, right? So really understanding where different people are coming from. The social justice movements that have happened in the last year have really created brands. You can't just kind of say, we believe in this and, do thoughts and prayers. You have to really say what you mean and show what you mean. So I think that's been a huge change. Having something meaningful to say. Why are you sending me a million emails, right? When I'm not responding, it's just the same thing over and over. So I think that's been an important lesson for brands, is really having something meaningful to say. And then being supporting in any way you can, whether that means the recent trend that you've probably seen of allowing people to opt out for Mother's Day or Father's Day communications, which that's just such a good wrapper around all three of these, around empathy, having something meaningful to say, and supporting. So I've been really impressed with the way brands have been thinking about different ways to engage, knowing that people have a lot of different feelings and sensitivities around the way the world's changed in the last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that's actually we are working on every single day. And facing that with our clients too. The challenge from being customer-centric, building this relationship, and at the same time managing business goals and being in the middle, finding the right solution to achieve this business goal and being customer-centric, working on building this relation with our customers, that's not so easy. That's, as you said, often brands in the past could forget to think about their customer and just blast and continue to send a ton of messages that are not relevant to their customer.
Yeah, and I think too with like, obviously the COVID lockdown, I think it comes up basically in every single conversation. It comes up, I think, on every podcast, but it's obviously been such a disruptor in everyone's lives. And I think we think a lot about it in terms of like how people's lives have changed and how it's impacted a lot of their personal relationships. And Melissa, kind of to piggyback on your analogy with building personal relationships, which we'll talk about in a bit, as sort of a, almost like a template for how CRM marketers can think about building relationships with their customers. People have been, you know, stuck at home, and the option to go in store, for example, for retailers hasn't been as prominent. We're lucky now that that's changing, but that hasn't been the case. And so I think like CRM has become so important, and to your point about it not just being a source of data, like brands have had to rethink the way that they're talking to customers because their touch points are or have been over the last year largely digital. So, you know, I wonder if potentially we come out of the other side of this and marketers will, CRM marketers in particular, will be even more equipped to do this kind of thing. I would imagine at least, you know, at least the savvy ones and the most successful will be thinking about things a bit differently after lockdown eases a bit.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting too. I'm wondering from your perspective, we've had so many clients, whether it's new business, prospecting, organic, that have really said, oh, wow, there's so much foundationally I need to fix that. Maybe you did duct tape and Band-Aid, right, for the last several years and you were still making it work. But to your point, when you don't have a way to do online ordering, a lot of these restaurants, right? Like there are so many things I think a lot of brands said, okay, I maybe don't have media dollars I can spend right now. I'm going to focus foundationally, which I did love to hear because maybe that meant you started to truly understand your customers, who they are, what they care about, where they're going, you know, where they're spending their other money. And so that's been, I think, one of the positives is going back kind of to the basics and fixing the foundation.
Yeah, 100%. I think like, you know, not CRM isn't only a data source. It's really like, you know, we've done some content on sort of like what CRM entails beyond just data collection. But to that point, it's like what your data can tell you about your customer so that you can build that relationship. And I think to your point, Melissa, that's become even more important than ever. And I think using that in the right way to be able to identify how to communicate to your customer, what your customer is actually interested in. And from like a buying perspective, you know, is it even the right time? And I love your point about Mother's and Father's Day. Like I think, you know, just becoming more empathetic among these finer points of what actually like motivates someone to buy and whether or not they're actually in the market for what you're selling or if your messaging is something that would resonate with them. So I think that's a really interesting kind of way to look at it. And I guess we'll probably see some major shifts in the way that marketers are looking at this post-COVID versus pre.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you've mentioned, you talk a lot about, I think, this concept of empathy and we've touched on it a bit, but I think, you know, buying something is somewhat inherently emotional. You know, I don't think we think about it that way, but to make a decision to purchase a product, even a small thing, like what we're doing is they're essentially engaging with something that's going to make our lives better. It's going to help us get something done. It's going to make us feel good. And I think, you know, there's a huge opportunity for brands to capitalize on this idea of empathy and not just sort of viewing consumers as digital touch points that they need to optimize. And that's something that you mention a lot and you talk a lot about. And it'd be interesting to hear sort of like some of the parallels that you draw between relationship building and relationship management and how customer marketers can think about maybe leveraging that in their own strategies.
Absolutely. I actually have a piece coming out pretty soon. I know I shared with you guys the preview around the customer journey and the human lens, because the reality is, you know, great example, two people meet, right? You get to know each other. You determine pretty quickly if there's a connection of any kind, whether that's a business connection to your point, you know, a product that you make that I'm interested in, a colleague that you meet, and you're like, okay, we have some stuff in common. So you really start to have that out of the gate. that first big milestone is making that determination in our minds that we like that other person and you want to continue building the relationship. You talk, you might work together, you have coffee, maybe even drink. And then eventually you either fall in love, you have a new best friend, a new favorite client, which we all love when we have that, a new favorite client that we get along great with, yeah. Or maybe even a mentor. So, you know, and then the next thing that comes is you tell everybody, I met this awesome person. I have this new great client. I have this new boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other, lover, whatever it is, right? You tell everyone. We post on Instagram, on LinkedIn, we talk about it. And so, you know, when you break that all down, that's kind of how we deal with brands as well, right? You think about, you see a brand, you might like it. You look at the way your relationship is involved. And one of the examples I've been playing with lately is like your favorite restaurant or coffee shop. Because you trusted them, you actually shifted the nature of your total engagement to support them during a pandemic, right? So you were willing to make a change in the way that you bought, that you purchased, that you engaged because you trusted them. And there were new brands that came through this last year. Maybe we were introduced in new ways, but the same process still exists. And ultimately for a brand, like what you want is for someone to talk about you later, right? You want them to say, I bought this product. I bought this service. It was amazing. I'm going to tell all my friends about it. And so we really focus on that. Like you got to get to the point where people like your brand. That is that first step. And it's such a huge milestone in every single relationship.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we mentioned it, but you published a blog recently. The title is The Platinum Rule Applies to Brands. I mean, that's really great content. And we will share the link in the description or comment below. Can you explain a little bit more on that? Oh, it's an evolution of the concept of the golden rules. I know that's you in the article. Also, you make a parallel between human interaction and brand action. That's a thing that I think we can pick one or two examples and explain that. I mean, love to hear you talking about it a little bit more.
Yeah. So this is an evolved concept of the golden rule. So I'm sure, you know, some of us are familiar with that, but what it means for marketers and how you can apply it to the strategy is really thinking about treating others the way that they would like to be treated. Instead of making assumptions about what they like based on you want as a human or a brand, it's really creating that two-way communication stream with that feedback loop. So it's just really interesting. I really loved this. One of my colleagues, when I shared, you know, my initial kind of blog written that I had, she was like, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the platinum rule. And I said, oh my God, you're totally right. Because most of us are like, well, I like this. So therefore you must like this, right? We all project. So this, the platinum rule, I love because it's more like, okay, putting that CRM and the relationship at the middle, it's really thinking about what matters to that other person, not to me, but to you. And so that's where I felt like the platinum rule was a great way to ground kind of, you know, what I was thinking about talking about and really organizing this recent piece. And it's so simple. It's like asking just for customers' feedback and then I don't know, listening, paying attention to what they say. Yeah. Maybe the difference between providing like an awesome customer experience and a really, really terrible one. So that's why I really loved the thought of, again, everything we preach around CRM and the relationship, the platinum rule really kind of pays that off.
Yeah, I think that's super interesting too. And the platinum rule actually, it requires a little bit more effort, right? Because it's easy to understand what you want. You know, I know how I like to be treated. I know what my brand preferences are. I know what, you know, drives me to decide to purchase one thing over another, or why I like one person versus another. But, you know, the platinum rule requires, it's harder because you have to have that, again, that empathy, which means you need to be able to tap into somebody else's psyche, understand them more, and then leverage that. You know, in personal relationships, it's doing that so that you can treat them better and build a stronger relationship. And for brands, it's leveraging what you know about them to your point to be able to communicate better, more effectively, in more empathetic ways. And I think you know, kind of piggybacking on your analogy with building relationships, I think with customer marketers, it's interesting because theoretically, if someone's already in your CRM database, they have that introduction. So now is the opportunity to sort of build and cement that relationship over time using what you know about them to be able to do it. And from a brand perspective, I think it used to be very much like a linear framework where brands like sort of viewed it as, we're just going to communicate out about what our identity is, what we want other people to, or what we want consumers to think about us as. But it's no longer like that. Like the brand itself is something that is really reflective of how they're talking to their consumers, but also listening as well. So they can sort of evolve that over time. And I think, like, to your point, I think the platinum rule is very much related to how brands have to evolve to stay competitive and to also continue to captivate their customers.
Yep. Well, and there's something else, you know, when you think about some of the metrics that support this, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, NPS is great, right? Tons of brands use it, but it's like a moment in time with a number. And I think part of the other evolution of, you know, kind of that human lens, the platinum rule, is trying to understand a bit more. And so our kind of approach to CRM at Digitas, we start with like, okay, understanding kind of what data we have, right? Which is great. But now you need to like get some insight on that. Just having data, we know data without any sort of insight is not that helpful. So how do we actually like understand what's happening with our customers? And then we talk about showing them we know them, right? And that goes back to what you were just talking about, which is that understanding of who they are, what matters to them. It's bringing kind of platinum rule all this together. But ultimately, otherwise, you're just gonna have kind of a blind email, SMS, paid media program that doesn't have a lot of meat behind it. And then you're gonna wonder why it's not performing very well.
Yeah, that reminds me a case where we see often segments or rules in brands and companies we are working with or not working with, but in CRM discussion saying that, okay, oh, we already have this rule that is working perfectly. We made this assumption or this, not this assumption, but this calculation out of all the data we have from the client, and we build this exact rule that will be the better. And I say, what are you talking about? I mean, what rule? We took the 5 million we have in the database of recent purchasers in the last 2 years and made an average of when is the best moment for them to buy again. Okay, my reply would be when they are ready. But if you do an average out of 5 million, when is the second purchase? And you find whatever figure that's after 2, 3 months, 8 months, depending on your business. And
yep.
You say, okay, the average is 8 months. And so what? You're sending a new email 8 months later, but that's an average. So that means in your 5 millions, you have almost half of it before the 8 months and half of it after. I mean, that's the best way to get nothing out of that. I mean, that's just...
Absolutely.
And that's not the R you were mentioning. That's not the platinum rule. That just... The data, and to your point, that's the data, that's great, but not having context where they are, how they are collecting, how do you collect this data? Because what was the situation when you ask that to the customer? I mean, that's first party data, but what was the context around the collection of the data? And that's really important. And the way you manage them, or the way you get information from this data, that's super important because we can make the data talk and say whatever we want if we are really opinionated to what we want them to say. And if you really pay attention and listen to the customer, you need to also take care of what you do with your data and the data you have, even if that's first party data or zero party data, whatever the level of data you have.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard, right? The easy thing to do is just to send an email every day.
Yeah.
And just, right? The easy thing is just to anytime you have anything to say, you just put it out there. I think the harder part is actually listening, digging into the data, understanding what it's telling you. And to your point, Ben, it's like, if you don't ask the right questions, then you might get to sending an email every 8 months, which is also not the right approach. No. So how do you make sure that you're merging some of these pieces together where you are looking at the data, but you're making sure you have the right filter on of what you're pulling out that's important? I know for a lot of brands too, like doing that, pulling them out of Mother's Day and Father's Day, that was probably kind of a pain for the person who's deploying those campaigns, right? To make sure that if you ask someone that they don't want it, you pull them out only for those communications, but you don't accidentally pull them out of everything else. So it just goes back to, again, brands need to really put the effort and time into thinking through what they're going to offer so that you can pay it off. Because I think that's the other thing. I'm sure you guys have seen this a million times. Like, you ask for certain preferences, you ask for information, you don't use it. That's not a good look either.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, like, you know, that's the danger of data, is you end up like treating vast segments of people exactly the same. And it might be right for some people, but it's probably going to be somewhat wrong for most. And I think that's where marketers are challenged, especially, and I think kind of bringing it back to COVID, where when the touch points are digital, that's kind of what you have to run on. So in-store shopping, obviously it's data driven as well, but a salesperson in store can tap into that empathy, have a conversation, showcase products, ask questions. And so the data points there are anecdotal, and they're conversational, and those can be used very easily to understand what someone wants. But digitally, I think, like, there's a pitfall where if you rely too much on, you know, just sort of explicit things that people are telling you, and you make leaps of assumption to what you can do with that, then you end up in sort of that pitfall of over communicating or under communicating. And it's funny, when you were mentioning sort of like the weekly emails or the daily email situation, it's like, it kind of makes you think about dating a little bit. And like, for those of us who are single, we've had to deal with the apps, which isn't always a great experience. But if you keep hitting up the same person over and over again, even if they're not interested, you're probably not going to get a great result at the end of the day from that. And, you know, that person might just not be responding because they're busy, or, you know, they've got other things on their mind. So I think, like, you know, if you're building that relationship from your customer, it's all about sort of like really making sure that you're being sensitive to that type of thing.
It's actually really funny you said that, Matt, because one of the original ways I started thinking about the, you know, human lens and the customer journey was because of that same thing. I was like, man, when you meet someone and either, like, and some of my takeaways, like, you ghost them or they ghost you. But as a brand, if you're texting me over and over and I'm not responding, give up, right? And this goes back to just other business rules around, like, lapsed customers and how to engage with them. But man, if you thought someone was your friend and you just never heard back from them, would you just keep stalking them? I mean, some people do.
Yeah.
But that's probably not the right approach.
it probably isn't. But I mean, even to that point too, like, it doesn't mean that maybe, you know, maybe not so much with dating, but like maybe that person just experiencing something that's removed them temporarily from that relationship. And 8 months from now, maybe they'll be interested in reengaging. Yeah. But you have to your point, let them be able to tell you that and allow them to come in and be able to reengage in a way that's natural and comfortable for them. And I think that's where brands are, you know, you can't do that. Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? You know, like, you know, move on, give them time. And if they'll reengage, they'll reengage. And there, we do see that with our clients, that sometimes what is a lapsed customer, they're just not in the right buying moment, and they'll come back later on. But you have to be able to use the data in ways to tell you when that right moment is, so that during that period of stillness, you're not, you know, hitting them up every day for no reason.
Well, and that's even more important for understanding, again, your buyers and the product you're selling. Because, you know, if you have a product that is replenished super frequently, like, the frequency of communications is understandable, right? But if you have a product like, you know, maybe it's like tires or something that you're not buying as frequently, you know, if you're an individual consumer, yes, you want to have some reminders set up and be very specific to, like, my life cycle, but I don't want an email every day from you, or even once a week. So I think that's the other piece for brands to just really think about, you know, kind of your example earlier, Ben, of like, you know, 8 months is the average. Well, you know, we all know averages are not always the best data point to use. So how do you actually look at your individual's customer journey so that you can, even if it's in cohorts, you're able to start to identify, like, what those most important moments are to actually start either communicating with them again, upsell them, cross sell them if you have other products. But really being more thoughtful about those different touch points, I think, is one of the more important. It's more important now. It's always been important, but I think there's just more emphasis on it today than there used to be.
That's really relevant in a way that you need to make an effort to work toward the goal of making a better relationship. And that won't come without effort. So everything automation is not the good solution. We mentioned that in previous episode, but you can't automate everything because you need to be in control and to, as a marketer, build this relationship and think about it. And that will require more work for sure, but for a better relationship and then a better business, because we are talking about business here. But then you can, I lost my thought, but I had another example that will maybe come back. But that's just, come on, as a marketer, you need to work and to be sure that you will build this relationship instead of choosing the easy path.
Yeah. And I think that's it's such a good point, because I think, like, to your point around automation, like I think that, you know, machines and computers can do a lot for us. Like, we're in an era of big data, and the human brain can't manage that amount of information on its own. Like, that's the reality that we're living in. Yeah. But I think, like, and it's good news for marketers. And I think, like, you know, there's all this fear that robots are going to replace everyone. But I think, I have faith that in marketing, that's never going to be the case, because until we get to the point where machines can develop empathy, we're never going to get there. So I think, like, to your point, Ben, like, full automation, just based on, like, set it, forget it, let it go. Like, I think that's where you can run into trouble and you end up getting, you know, signals that probably aren't actually empathetic. So it's a blend of using, you know, that technology that's available to us that allows us to be able to learn from the data, to be able to understand people better. But then as a marketer, being able to make that call around, what do we want to communicate about? You know, like especially with social justice and things like that, like, there's machines are not going to be able to make the right call on some of that sort of thing when it comes to messaging and whatnot. So I think, you know, marketers are I think even more responsible now for making sure that they're sort of at the helm of their strategy, and that it's not just sort of this automated process that's just sort of pushing buttons and pulling levers and letting it go.
Yeah, and so my thoughts came back. but that's and I will turn that to you, Melissa. I think we see sometime with marketers that they have ideas and they don't pursue them or try what they want to try to build a better relationship, because they are looking at their competition. Their competitor is doing and shooting an email every single day, SMS every other day. Because this other brand is doing this way, I should follow that. No, yep. I mean, with your parallel, I mean, do you feel that's the same thing, that you are experiencing this kind of discussion with marketers? And the next step, the follow-up on my question is that, and if we tie that to the relationship, the human relationship you are mentioning, that, I mean, it's not because two persons are dating or building the relationship together one way, you need to do the same thing, because that's two different humans, that's two different things, and you don't build the same relationship. And I guess my question is that, do you face that with your discussion with marketers too, or that's?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm sure you guys get this question a lot too. We get it a lot. What are standard email benchmarks? What are standard SMS benchmarks? What are standard, you know, right? Yeah. And it's hard. I always kind of say, sure, there are benchmarks out there, 100%. However, every brand is different. Every makeup of a customer base is different. To your point, Ben, like, you know, other than maybe like Amazon, every other customer is a little bit different. And so you want to make sure you're actually like understanding. So I always tell clients, like, benchmark against yourself. That's who you need to be benchmarking against. You really need to be looking at yourself. You need to be looking at, you know, how you look at your customer base and how you're engaging with them. Because otherwise you're going against someone that actually may have a completely different type of relationship. So that's a really good point. The other thing I was thinking about too, when you guys were talking, is people make mistakes in their relationships. So do brands. And how you respond to those, I think, also is really, really critical and important. And so when you think about, you know, brands who hit head on challenges they've had or mistakes they've had, you know, whether it's through, again, a push notification, an email, and there are so many ways to do it. But I think when brands are transparent and honest, people just respond better to that, not deleting negative comments, responding and saying that you understand and appreciate. And then actually, I love the brands that show changes they made. Thank you for all your feedback. Here are the three new things we're doing based on everything you told us. And I think that's what creates a lifetime customer for a brand as well.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, yeah, fascinating. And I think, you know, like, it's just so interesting kind of like thinking over the conversation we just had, like how it is, it's such a parallel between brand building, companies building relationships with customers, yep, and like real human relationships. And it seems like such a simple concept that people just are, I think, again, sort of, I know we've talked about this, but then the era of big data are just sort of not necessarily grasping enough. But I think, again, like maybe we'll be seeing some shifts towards more of that personalized relationship building that brands will be pursuing. Melissa, I think like we've covered some of it, but in your blog, you had a few, I think, really punchy, interesting recommendations after you had drawn some parallels. And I would love to hear sort of, you know, what you would recommend to our audience in terms of how they can capitalize on this idea of the platinum rule and the parallel between relationship building and building relationships with personal relationships and with your customers.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. The meaty part of the blog, right? So the first thing was really around providing reasons for people to engage with your brand based on what you know of them. So where you do have first party data, and we know this is even more important now with the cookieless future, first party data so important. Make sure you're featuring relevant content and products across your marketing channels. This does not have to be all the way to one-to-one for every customer, right? There is a spectrum. Mass is still okay in a lot of opportunities and a lot of situations, but it's really just making sure that what data you have, use it wisely. Think about your, you know, evolution of personalization. Think about where and how you can use some of that content and data and use it wisely. So I think that's one of the first ones. The second, which again, I would argue is just as important, is demonstrating that value exchange for any of that personal information, opting in, following you. And so making sure kind of the benefits and expectations are clearly articulated when, you know, asking customers to provide their personal information is really, really critical. And these all sound like, oh, well, yeah, of course, this has been around for a while, but not everybody does it properly, right? We know that. We see these brands every day. So, you know, the value exchange is huge. It's a hot topic. You want me to give you my information? You want me to buy more of your products? Give me something in return. The third, which you'll laugh, Matt, because this is 1000% from the dating analogy, respect the ghosting.
Yes.
If someone doesn't respond, if they don't open, if they don't engage, stop messaging them. And I literally have like flashbacks to dating. Yep. You want to cleanse your list. You want to have some sort of engagement for lapsed customers, right? Like just be smart about it. But at the end of the day, if you keep asking and you just don't hear from them, let it go. I mean, that's a big lesson for all of us, right? Thank you, Disney. So then the next one is around continuing the practice of being empathetic. Everyone's situation is different. Ben, you talked about this. You just never know the situation that everyone's in. So be empathetic. Understanding goes a long, long way. And again, don't just say you're supporting causes, actually show it. And then the last thing that I've talked about with a lot of colleagues is just earning trust and love. When someone loves your brand, they talk about it, ensure you openly communicate about the good and the bad, and brands being really willing to take that in, make changes, respond, I think is really critical. So again, I just try to think about it as how, again, the platinum rule, it's easy to project ourselves, but what do I know about this person that makes me understand where they're coming from?
Yeah, perfect conclusion. Build the relationship, build the relationship for the long term and not for the end of the month. I mean, you're not doing that with human. You're not doing all this work to do that just to be in touch and in a relationship for 1 month. And you're building that for the long term. Same in business. That's a long term R for the CRM.
Yes. Yep. The relationship's important. Don't forget about it.
Don't forget. Yeah, great stuff, Melissa. It was so nice having you on. Really appreciate it. Yeah, really, really nice talking to you today. And for the audience, make sure you like, comment, Love to hear your perspective on relationship building with your customers, things that you've done right, things that have been a challenge. Love to hear it all. Like and please rate the podcast as well. Thank you again, Melissa, and hopefully we'll be able to have you on in the future.
Yes, please. This was wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our latest episode. If you enjoyed this week's topic, and we hope you did, let us know by leaving a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, and don't forget to share it with your network. See you all next week.